There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a question why the Rambam didn't count it in the minyan. On mitzvahs, some of the mefarshim say the reason why he didn't count it because he holds a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael only with the Rabbanim. The Pashta says that even the Rambam agrees that it's a mitzvah in a Torah, but it's not counted for some reason, it's included in some other mitzvah. Or even if he states in the Rabbanah, so everyone agrees there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Is there a mitzvah to tour Eretz Yisrael, to visit Eretz Yisrael, and then to move back to Chutz Laaretz? So the Magen Avraham quotes in Hilchas Erev Shabbos, this is a machlek hasachreinim. What's the significance? Why is it in Hilchas Erev Shabbos? So the Gemara has a din in the first parak of Masechah Shabbos, you're not allowed to take a boat trip within the last 3 days before Shabbos. What do you mean the last 3 days? So Shulchan Aruch says Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The Vilna Gaon thinks that it's only Thursday, Friday. Wednesday is Mutter. Last 3 days means Wednesday, Thursday, with Shabbos are the 3 days. Why are you not allowed to take a boat trip? So the different Pirushim and the Gemara, what the issue is. But maybe it doesn't apply, Bizman Hazeh. Many of you Rishonim say because you're going to be nauseous. So if you take a Dramamine today, you take pills, and no one gets nauseous when you're on a boat. So maybe the whole din doesn't apply, Bizman Hazeh. Many Gaonim say like that. The din doesn't apply. The Gaonim, before the days of Rashi, they say like that, the whole din doesn't apply. So it says you're not allowed to go on a boat trip when it's usher 3 days before Shabbos, unless you're going to the Dvar Mitzvah, then it's permissible. So what's an example of a Dvar Mitzvah? You're going to learn in the Yeshiva, you're going to do Pinyon Shvuyim, or you're going to move to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlokes Achrayim from the Knesset HaGedolah, quotes it. Knesset HaGedolah is a likut of commentaries on the tour. The Beis Yosef quotes a likut. The Beis Yosef quotes a likut of Rishonim and Achrayim, who discuss all the topics of the tour. And then the Knesset HaGedolah is a likut. The word Knesset HaGedolah means a likut of all of the Mefarshim who were not quoted by Rabbi Yosef Karo. Then you have the Shiori Knesset HaGedolah, then you have the Chidor wrote the Birkei Yosef, all the likutim on the tour. So the Magen Avraham quotes when the Knesset quotes all from the Knesset HaGedolah. Chafei, it's Knesset HaGedolah, Rosh Hashanah. He quotes when the Knesset HaGedolah, Samach Leikis, whether just visiting Eretz Yisrael is also a partial Kiyama Mitzvah, because the Gemara says whoever walks Dal HaRamas in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avoinus. Because you have the pasuk at the end of Hazinu, Shiras Hazinu, the pasuk says there'll be such a terrible holocaust that people will be asking, where was God when all of this was happening? Where was God when all this was happening? That's what everyone was saying during the holocaust. Where is the Jewish God? The Christians were doing more missionary activities than usual. After the Holocaust, they said, obviously the Jewish God, he forsook the Jewish people. He left them, he was mafke them. So many people were killed. And then the Shiras Hazin ends up, v'chiper ad masai amai. So the Pashup shot in the Pasuk is, Rashi points it out. Chiper means God will appease, ad masai. God will appease his land. Eretz Yisrael will start to flourish again. After so many years of Churban, after the Churban by Sheni, Eretz Yisrael was in a state of Shimamon. Nonetheless, after 1948, so Eretz Yisrael started to flourish in such a fantastic way. And the Jewish people picked up everything the Jews were suffering for so many years in Golis. There were so many pogroms and such a Shoah. The Chiper Amosai, the Amoi, Pashim Shad. God will appease his land and he will appease the Jewish people. That's the Pshutu Shal Mikra. Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, and Torah Shel Bapeh has another level of interpretation. The Chipa Ad Masai Amai, that whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avoinus. The Chipa Ad Masai, Ad Masai Eretz Yisrael is Mechaper on the Jewish people. Then the Gemara says, and if you live in Eretz Yisrael while you're alive, it's even better. In a dayma, even if you're only buried in Eretz Yisrael, after you die, if you only bury Eretz Yisrael after you die, it gives you mechilas avinus to a certain extent, and certainly gives you mechilas avinus if you walk Dal HaRamas in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Magen Avraham quotes to explain the one opinion that even to visit Eretz Yisrael temporarily is also a partial kima mitzvah. The Gemara says one who walks Dal HaRamas in Eretz Yisrael gets mechilas avinus. So then the So that's machlokes. Is there a partial kiyama mitzvah by visiting Eretz Yisrael? On the assumption that there is, So how long do you have to stay? Just one opinion, just to walk Dal HaRamas. So you walk Dal HaRamas, then you leave. You better have a partial Kema Mitzvah. Other Achrayim disagree. They say no. The Gemara has in the end of Sanhedrin and in Baba Basra, the beginning of Baba Basra, the Gemara has certain dinim depend on living in a house or living in a city for 30 days. And some dinim depend on living in a city for 12 months. So that's what some poskim say. There's only a partial Kema Mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael if you live there for 30 days. Some say there's only a partial Kema Mitzvah if you live in Eretz Yisrael for 12 months. So let's say a person takes a sabbatical. A person goes to learn for a year in Eretz Yisrael. So he can make a ticket to stay for slightly more than a month or less than a month. Or so he can goes on vacation. Or he can make a ticket to stay for slightly less than 12 months or slightly more than 12 months. So he should make, if he has a choice, let him make the ticket for slightly more than 12 months or slightly more than 1 month. Because somehow that less than a month is not Kema Mitzvah. Somehow less than a year there's not Kema Mitzvah. Others hold even Dal HaRamas there's a Kema Mitzvah. So that's where the Mogen Aharon quotes in Hilchas Erev Shabbos when it says you're not allowed to take a boat trip the last 3 days before Shabbos enters because, whatever reason, usually because you'll get nauseous. Maybe it doesn't apply, Bismarck, is that the whole thing? Okay, but on the books it says, unless you go b'maka mitzvah, the Gemara says, then it's mutter. So the Mogen Aharon quotes this much like this. Is that considered a maka mitzvah if you're going to tour in Eretz Yisrael? When we go to Eretz Yisrael, we usually don't go by boat. They go by plane. So there's a question when you travel somewhere chutz lo'ir. So the chacham wamasakin that you should say tefillas aderech. So they thought that tefillas aderech only makes sense if the person is slightly nervous about the trip. He said that he used to commute every week back and forth from Boston to New York, and first he used to go by train, and then he started going by plane. Then he got so used to going by plane, it doesn't shake at all. You feel as if he's sitting still. So he stopped saying Tfilas Aderech. He said, you only say Tfilas Aderech because Kol HaDrach Mecheska Sakona. So if there's a little bit of a Sakona, so then it's a Tfilah B'yes Tzorah. But if the person is nowhere near 50-50, 50% of the people who travel on the highways, who go by plane, don't get into a crash. They don't get hurt. So if it's nowhere near 50-50, it's only considered a Safek Sakana if you personally are nervous about it. If you're not nervous, then it's not called a Safek Sakana. That's what the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shem Epsoim Hashem. The Rebbe Shalom watches over the fools. The fools are the people who are not nervous. They're daredevils. They go travel on a highway, and there is a certain percentage of people who travel or get into an accident, so the people are not nervous about it. So he said, if you don't feel nervous at all, he thought that you don't say Tfilas Aderech. Others thought not so. They asked Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky that there are a lot of people who live in New Jersey, and they commute to New York every day to go to work, and they're so used to this ride they can really drive in their sleep. They know the way so well they can drive. They can be helpless if they don't have to be alert at all. So they say Rabbi Yain Kamenetsky thought that even though you're not nervous at all, it's a very easy commute, you're so used to it. You do it for so many years, every day for so many years. Rabbi Yain Kamenetsky thought that you do say Tfilas Aderech. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that you don't, only if you're nervous about it. So when you go by plane, there's always a little bit to be nervous about. So we usually assume that one does recite Tfilas Aderech. It's famous from the Ragachover that he thought that one who travels by plane, Michutz Lo'ir, does not recite Tfilas Aderech because it's not called Derech. There's a din in the Chumash of Shiluach HaKan. It says in the Chumash, Ki Koril Recha Kansipa Baderech. If a person is going on the road traveling and he comes upon Kansipa is a nest with a bird sitting on chicks, a mother bird sitting on eggs. The din only applies if the mother bird is sitting. If the father bird is sitting, they alternate. Sometimes the father bird sits, sometimes the mother bird sits. So you have to know what's a male and what's a female. If it's the father bird, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. You have to, I think at night it's the mother bird, I think in the daytime it's the father bird sitting. So you're only yotze the mitzvah if you know that it's the mother bird sitting on top of the chicks. So the Gemara has a comment at the end of Chulin. The last parak of Chulin is parak of Shiloh HaKan. And all the dinim are in Shulchan Aruch. So the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan only applies ki kor lefenach and kantzipa baderach. What's called baderach, so the Gemara says, if you're flying in the air and you come upon on top of a, how can people fly in the air? I don't know what the case is in the Gemara. A guy's flying in the air and in a balloon, I don't know. And he comes across, there's a tall tree and there's a nest with a bird on it. So the din of Shiloh HaKan doesn't apply. So the Rogat Sheva said, since the Gemara says that it's not called derech, if you're flying in the air, so you shouldn't say Tfilas HaDerech. Tfilas HaDerech was only instituted if it's a derech, if it's a normal way of transportation, and this is not called a derech. So his opinion, like his opinion on many other things, he was a super genius, but his opinion has not been accepted. A lot of different opinions about a lot of different things. So we do say Tfilas HaDerech. When do you say Tfilas HaDerech? So usually you say Tfilas HaDerech after you've left the city already. Kol Zman you're still in the city, you don't say Tfilas HaDerech. And then for Tchum Shabbos purposes, you only start calculating if the city has a Al Pidin has the status of an Eir. That's Mishnayis, has to be an Erevin and an Erechin. Happens to be in both Mesichtot, there's the same Mishnah appears. What's the definition of a city? It could be by us. Many little villages don't in New Jersey may not have the din of an Eir. So then you have to calculate Tchum Shabbos from your house, Al Pi Mama in a circle. But if you have a city that Al Pi Din corresponds to the rules and regulations of a city, that depends on the layout and the minimum population. So then we treat the city as if it's a rectangular shape, even though it's not, even if it's not, it's amoeba shape. It's not a rectangular shape at all. So Al Pi Din, you treat every city as if it's northeast, southwest, according to the map. You draw whatever this, the northernmost house in the city, you draw a line like this, easternmost and so on. So even though they're missing houses over here, every city Al Pi Din has the status of a rectangle. Manhattan is approximately a rectangle the way it is. So you don't, the Gemara says, you don't draw the rectangle according to Ruchas HaOlam. It's almost a rectangle the way it is. They just fill in the rectangle the way it is. But if it's an amoeba shape and it doesn't even look approximately like a rectangle, then you go northeast, southwest according to the map. And then after you draw the northeast, southwest, if you ruchas ha'olam, then you measure another 70 amas. That's called ibura shalir, like a woman is pregnant. So she, her body is extended. So ibura shalir, the city is pregnant, another 70 amas. So usually one recites Tfilas HaDerech when he leaves Ibur HaShalir. If you're going to go travel within the city, even though it's a little dangerous, there are probably more accidents in the middle of the city than there are on the highways outside of the city. In the days of the Tanaim, when they instituted this Takana, so there was the Sakana was greater when you're going on the highway, as it is called a Drachem Mecheska Sakana. In the city, there was less Sakana. So if you're going to pass Ibur HaShalir, so then they made a takana to say Tfilas HaDerech. So the Magen Avraham quote said, many had the practice, if you're going to have a long distance trip where you're going to leave Ibur HaShalir, and the trip is going to be in a minimum of a parsa of 4 mil, then you say Tfilas HaDerech even before you started the car. When you sit in the car, you say Tfilas HaDerech. Rabbi Soloveitchik had that practice. Rabbi Breuer in the neighborhood used to have that practice before he would leave. If it was going to be a trip outside of the city, they would say Tfilas HaDerech right away. Most people have the practice that you only begin to say the Tfilas HaDerech after you left Ibur HaShalir, after you left the 70 Amas on the outskirts. But they say when you go by plane, the Iker Sakana really is in the takeoff. Most of the accidents don't occur when you're flying in the air because they have traffic control that the plane shouldn't go anywhere near each other. So the main Sakana really is in the takeoff and then in the landing. So the Pashto says, Rabbani recommend that you should say Tfilas HaDerech when you're still in the city, when the plane is taxiing and it's about to take off, that's when you say the Tfilas HaDerech. So the person is going to visit Eretz Yisrael.
What if you left the city to get to the airport? Should you say it in the car?
Yeah, if you leave the city in order to get to the airport, yeah. Let's say you live in one city and the plane live in then you're coming to New York, to the airport, you say Tfilas HaDerech in the car, and that covers the whole trip. Covers the whole trip. When you land in Eretz Yisrael, you have to take a taxi to get to wherever you're going. So the whole trip is covered with the Tfilas HaDerech that you said in the beginning. That is correct, I would think so. So you arrive in already in Eretz Yisrael. When you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, so a lot of people go, they make a point of going to visit the Kosel HaMarabi. So the Tanoim, after the Churban HaBayis, instituted 3 dinim of ripping kriya. There's a din of ripping kriya when a relative dies. So there are 2 levels. There's a kriya aloi valimo, if one was told that one of the parents died, and then there's a kriya if another relative dies. So if the other relative dies, you only have to rip a kriya a tefach. If a parent dies, you can rip kriya tefach, and then after the shloshim is over, then you can sew up, then you can give the clothing to the tailor, and the tailor can reweave it and do a perfect job, and there will be no zecher to the fact that there ever was a tear. But if one rips kriya lo bevalima, so it's not enough to rip a tefach, you have to rip achigale esliboy, that's a little more. Down where the heart is further down, and then you're never allowed to, you can stitch it up a little bit, a sloppy job, but to do a perfect job, to reweave it, the Gemara calls it ichoy alexandrani. If you did an Alexandrian reweaving, did a good job, you can't even notice that it ever had a tear, so that's, you're not allowed to do that. So then the Gemara has a din that the kriya lo alim was considered more chomer than the kriya on the other relatives. So let's say a person rip kriya. The minig is, by Ashkenazim, the minig is that if a parent dies, you rip kriya on the left side, because most people have the heart tilting to the left. So since the din is you have to rip kriya shigala sliboy, they rip on the left side. When the other relatives die, so the minig is you don't have to rip on shigala sliboy, so you rip on the right side. Many Sfarim have the meaning the reverse, that the right side is usually, most people are righties, the right-hand side of the Azorah has more Kedusha than the left-hand side, that's called Kachikach, Mechitatz, Matzof, and Sofen is the right-hand side of the Azorah, and we always do mitzvahs, but the Kohanim have to do Hakrabas, Hakrabonis, but the right hand, if they're righties, if he's a lefty, he's not allowed to do Avodah at all. And we always do B'chol Dorchecha Do'ehu, when you eat and when you take a shower and when you go to sleep, everything should be done as Avodas Hashem. So you should always do everything with the right hand. When you put on the shoes, you should put on the right side first. When you get dressed, everything the right side first. We treat everything in life as if it's Avodas Hashem. So by many Sfarim, the meaning is the reverse. By Yovav Alimai, you rip Kriya on the right side because the right side is more important than the other Kriya, you rip Kriya on the left side. But it's all Minhagim. Strictly speaking, it doesn't really make a difference on halacha whether you rip on the right side, left side. It's all the same thing. The difference is halav alimoy, you have to rip achigale sliboy. Rav Elyashiv pointed out that usually today people wear jackets, so usually they rip kriya when a parent dies. Usually they rip kriya on the lapel, so they rip down over here achigale sliboy. So he pointed out you didn't really, this part of the lapel is a second piece of cloth covering over the body. So even if you rip this part of the lapel, the body is still covered with the bottom part of the jacket. So he said, "Alo v'alima, you haven't accomplished anything. You haven't been megala any part of the body by ripping this." So he thought, by other relatives, it's okay. By alo v'alima, if you're ripping on the jacket, you should really rip over here, not rip the lapel. You should really rip this part. By other relatives, it's okay. You don't need achigala aslima. So now, then there's another difference. If a person already ripped kriya once before, and now another relative dies. So if the first kriya was arshar kreivim, and now a parent dies afterwards, so you cannot be yotze with tosefes. You cannot just rip a little more, amashahu, further. If a brother dies, then a sister dies, any other relative dies. So the first kriya has to be on the right side, let's say. The first kriya should be a tefach, and the next kriya can be a kol shehu, just an eighth of an inch. You just rip a little more. But if the first kriya was alov v'alimai, then another relative dies, so we paskin, you can be a tzeh with mashu. But if it's the reverse, first a different relative died, so that's a lower level of kriya. Then he wants to, now a parent dies, and he wants to be a tzeh kriya alov v'alimai. So the way we paskin, there are two opinions. And Rishonim had to read the Gemara, so the way it's accepted in Yeridei is that you're not Yotze. If you do a Tosefes Mashuhu, al Kriya done on Shar Kreivim, you do a Tosefes Mashuhu, when the parent dies, you're not Yotze, because the parents did a Kriya as Machomer. See, when it comes to the Churban Eretz Yisrael, at the time of Churban by Shein in the year 70, so there are three levels of a Kriya. The lowest level of Kriya is Or Yehuda B'Churbanam. More Chomer than that is Kriya al Yerushalayim, Ir Atika. And more chomer than that is Kriya al Amigdosh. Kriya al Amigdosh. So if a person first ripped Kriya Anar Yehuda b'chor banam, and then he sees Yerushalayim. He can't just be moistiv kolshu. He has to rip a separate kriya. Or if you first rip kriya on Yerushalayim b'chor banam, then he wants to rip kriya on the, it comes normally. You first come to Yerushalayim, then you come to the Beis Hamikdash afterwards. Then you have to rip the separate kriya. If the person, the Gemara has a funny case. Person was brought to the Makam Hamikdash in a shita teva migdal. They carried him in a carriage, in a wagon, and they didn't see what was outside. If you don't see that you're in Yerushalayim, so you don't rip kriya. They let him out, and the first thing he sees is the Makam Hamikdash b'Chorban. He's in front of the Kotel HaMaravi, and he sees the mosque over there. If you don't see the mosque, so you don't see any Churban. But if you're standing in front of the Kotel HaMaravi, you see the mosque protruding above the kippah, you see the dome of the mosque. Ein lecha churban gadol mizeh. Some had a churban that you have to stand on top of the rooftop. In the yeshivas there, and Parat Yosef or the other yeshivas, and see the floor of the Makam HaMikdash. But the Bach quotes that we don't follow that chumra. We assume when you see the kippah, when you see the dome, ein lecha churban gadol mizeh. So you rip that kriya on the Makam HaMikdash b'churban. So then, if later on you go to the Eir Atika, then you don't have to rip a separate kriya. You can just be moisif kolshu. Well, let's say the person ripped kriya already a month ago on the Makam HaMikdash, then he hasn't been there in a month, and he comes back a month later, he has to rip kriya again. It's not necessary to rip on the other side of the garment, not necessary to rip a different garment. Take the same old garment and rip a little further, Moisiv Kol Shehu, and you yotze the kriya. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There are three levels of kriya. The din of kriya, Ari Yehuda b'churbanam, what's the definition of b'churbanam? What do you mean in a state of binyan? As opposed to a state of churban, when is it bichur? When is it bichur banai? So the Magen Avraham quotes the poskim that it's under, if it's under Jewish control, that's considered bibinyonai. If it's under non-Jewish control, then it's considered bichur banai. So that's but years ago, when the Israeli government gave over control of Beis Lechem to the Palestinian Authority, so the one who was at that time the chief rabbi, Ramat Chalio, said, you have to rip kriya. So they were attacking him in the newspapers. The rabbi's taking a stand on a political issue. And not a political issue. Didn't say you have to rip kriya because they're giving it over. We should rip kriya over the fact that they gave it over to Palestine. But he didn't say that. He said, now it's no longer under Jewish control. So when you come to Beis Lechem, it's Ari Yehuda b'Chorbanam. You have to rip kriya. He just said what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. He's not allowed to say what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So when you go to Beis Lechem, you go to visit Kever Ochel is in Beis Lechem. So if you see the way you're passing by Beis Lechem, if the bus has windows and you see through the windows on the other side of the street, you have to rip kriya. But if you don't look on the other side of the street, you just go to the Kever Ochel. Kever Ochel is under Jewish control. It's full of Jewish soldiers all the time. So that's still b'binyanin. But the other side of the street, that's b'churban. Chevron is under Jewish control. It's full of Arabs. That's the question. That's called Bibinyana. It's under Jewish control, but it's inhabited mostly by Arabs. So we're makel on that. So whatever's under Jewish control is considered Bibinyana.
The guy made Kriya at the Kotel. Before one gets to the Old City, can one just throw on like an undershirt over like his regular shirt and rip that? Or should he be ripping like the actual shirt he's wearing?
The din is that one doesn't, even when a relative dies, one doesn't rip kriya on a beged zeya. The undershirts is a beged zeya. You only wear it to absorb the perspiration. You only, many hold that a regular shirt is also a beged zeya, because people who change their shirt every day. So many hold you don't rip kriya on a shirt. Then strictly speaking on a jacket, in Europe, they didn't have central heating. So it would be cold in the winter, so you wear a jacket to keep warm. Most of the people in the room are not wearing a jacket because we have heating over here. So the jacket I wear, I'm the professor here, I'm the Rebbe. So I wear a jacket, l'kavod b'yalma. So if you wear a beged only, l'kavod b'yalma, you don't have to rip kriya on that. And then the Arba Kamfis is, we only wear the Arba Kamfis because it's a mitzvah. You don't rip kriya on a talis. If you're wearing a talis, you don't rip kriya. If you wear an Arba Kamfis, that's a machlokes achreinim, where they have to rip kriya. So Lamai said by us, maybe you don't, when a relative dies, it's a question whether you ever rip kriya. On the undershirt, you don't rip kriya. And our bekamfis, the common practice is that when mekel, you don't rip kriya. They say you only wear it l'shem mitzvah. On the shirt, maybe it's also a beged zeah. Many hold you don't rip kriya. And the jacket is a beged only l'kavod b'yalma. So by us, it's a big question if you ever rip kriya. So the meaning is that when parents die, so you have to rip kol b'gadim sholav, all the b'gadim that you mechuyev to rip. By us, maybe you're not mechuyev to rip anything. So the meaning is that people usually rip on the jacket and the shirt. If another relative dies, you only have to rip one beged. So which beged should you rip? Do you have to rip the jacket? Maybe you're not yotzei with the jacket. Maybe you only rip the shirt. So a lot of people just rip the shirt. There's more mistabit to rip the shirt than to rip the jacket. Today is usually only beged l'kavod b'yalma. Yeah. When you visit the Kosel HaMaravi, so there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raavad, the Gemara says, it has the din of kriya like alavi v'alimoy. So that's a question. Maybe the kriya on Beis HaMikdash, b'chorbanoy, maybe Beis HaMikdash is considered b'binyonoy. Why? It's under Jewish control. So that's what Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook said. Beis HaMikdash, since they have Jewish soldiers, after Mechamet Sheshet HaYamim, it's under Jewish control. So maybe it's called Beis HaMikdash b'binyonoy, so you shouldn't rip kriya. Soloveitchik thought that was a big joke. What do you mean b'binyonoy? B'binyonoy means you have a Beis HaMikdash. What does it help us under Jewish control? Or Yehuda b'chorbanim, there the Magen Avraham quotes that it depends on the Jewish control, not Jewish control. Beis HaMikdash b'binyonoy means if you have a Beis HaMikdash. If it's in the state of churban, what does it help that it's under Jewish control? He thought it was a big joke. I once printed this. I didn't want to be Mavasra Tzvi Yehuda Kook. So I wrote that one of the young rabbis in Eretz Yisrael said that you don't have to rip kriya. He was already an old man. I didn't want to say who it was. So people from Merkos Arab said, what do you mean, one of the young rabbis? Tzvi Yehuda Kook said that. So I said, I didn't want to say because I write that Rabbi Soloveitchik thought it was a big joke. So I didn't want to say whom he was disagreeing with. But he held that that's not right at all. Shaila's brother Yevka said, the Pashta says you have to rip kriya on the Kosel Marav unless you come less than 30 days, unless he wants. Magen Avraham quotes the Achrayim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the meaning was that they never ripped kriya. So how come you don't rip kriya? So he says, before bar mitzvah, you don't have to rip kriya. But other relatives, you do, because kriya luchud, b'avelus luchud. Children before bar mitzvah don't observe avelus. Even though there's a demichinach and lulav and shofar and davening and tzitzis and other things, but there's no chinach and avelus. But the ripping kriya is not considered part of avelus. It's a different mitzvah. So children before bar mitzvah do rip kriya when relatives die. But ripping kriya by the Kosel HaMaravi, that's a chelik of avelus. So if a person goes al chalamoid, if a relative dies al chalamoid, the Mishnah says you do rip kriya. You do rip kriya, because ripping kriya is not a chelik of the din of avelus. It says in Shulchan Aruch, by the yekis, they have a minig, that the only rip kriya chalamoid if a parent died. If other relatives died, they don't rip kriya chalamoid. So the Ramah says, if that's not your minig, you shouldn't adapt that minig because it's not really proper. It's not a correct minig. More correct is that the Mishnah said beferish, that one does rip kriya chalamoid. If you're mechuyev to, if it's a dear friend who died, you don't volunteer kriya chalamoid. But if it's a relative that you mechuyev medina, so the Pashto says you do rip kriya. But kriya on the Kosel HaMaravi, kriya on Yerushalayim, that's a nihu gavelus that you don't do. A cotton doesn't rip kriya on the Kosel HaMaravi, and a chalamoid you don't rip kriya. Shabbos and Yontav you don't rip kriya because this avelus you don't observe on Shabbos and Yontav. So the Magen Avraham quotes the children who were brought up in Eretz Yisrael, so they never rip kriya before bar mitzvah. Then after bar mitzvah they were just by the Kosel within 30 days, and they always go within 30 days if they're always visiting. So that's why the minig was that they never rip kriya. But if we live in America and we come to visit, so if you haven't been by the Kosel HaMaravi in the last 30 days, so the din requires you have to rip kriya. The shaila is, what if you saw a live broadcast? There are certain websites where you can see what's going on right now by the Kosel HaMaravi. So Chacham Avadya writes, he's not sure what the din is, whether that has a status. You don't have the same degree of emotion that you have when you're there, standing in front of the Kosel HaMaravi. It's more emotional than just hearing the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is still in the state of churban. It's the more emotional when you see it, but it's more emotional if you're there. So he writes, he's not sure whether if you're watching the dinners, you have to rip kriya standing. So the Gemara compared that the ripping kriya by the Kosam Arav is like halal of alima. So once you tear the shirt, once you tear the jacket, you're not allowed to go have it rewoven, to have it done over again. So you have to take an old shirt or an old jacket that you plan to throw out anyway, to rip kriya. So the shaila is, let's say you're watching live broadcast from the Kosam Arav, do you have to rip kriya here in America? So Chacham Avadya says it's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Whenever there's a suffix kriya, you go lekula, you don't rip kriya. So he says if you're watching a live broadcast, the suffix, you don't rip kriya. Then if you come to Eretz Yisrael within 30 days, so it's vayta suffix. Maybe I was supposed to rip kriya when I saw on TV, on the computer. So maybe I don't have kriya. So he said, you don't rip kriya. Okay. But if you really haven't, you didn't look on a website and you haven't visited in 30 days, so the Pashtus is that you rip kriya. What about Yerushalayim Bechor Banoi? The old city is not under Jewish control. So maybe you don't have to rip kriya. So that's a big question. Yerushalayim Bechor Banoi Beteres, what is the kriya? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah Paskins La'alocha, that ripping kriya on Yerushalayim is because Yerushalayim was the capital. And it's the Yerushalayim Bechor Banoi means we're ripping kriya with the Churban HaMedina. But if you have a Medina, and now officially Yerushalayim is the capital, right after Mechamet Sheshet Hayamim, the government moved within the first week. They moved some of the offices to the old city. Demonstrate that the old city is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's under Jewish control. And that's officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. That's why they moved the Mishrad HaMishpatim. The Ministry of Justice it was moved in the Sheikh Jarrah, to that street in the old city right away. So the Mishnah Berurah says that you only rip kriya of Yerushalayim Bechor Banoi because it represents it's the capital and it's the Churban HaMedina. But today Yerushalayim is the capital, so you wouldn't rip kriya. Rav Soloveitchik thought not so. He thought that more correct is like the other poskim, that ripping kriya on Yerushalayim means Yerushalayim is where you eat the Korban Pesach. Yerushalayim is where you eat all the Kachim Kalim. As a Kolzman does not base on Migdosh, Yerushalayim is considered Bechor Banoi. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach also held something similar to that. So they were of the opinion that today, even though Yerushalayim is under Jewish control, you do have to rip kriya. So that's machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and others. So if someone always follows Rabbi Soloveitchik, okay, so you got to rip kriya. If someone doesn't always follow Rabbi Soloveitchik, so it's the most it can be is a suffix, and a suffix kriya, you go lekula. You don't have to rip kriya. So that's what people usually rip kriya by the Kosel Amara, but you don't rip kriya on the old city. And the Or Yehuda, those that are under Jewish control are Yehudas, because the Binyanim. Beis Lechem they gave to the Palestinian Authority. So that's stuck. If you look out of the bus when you're passing Beis Lechem, then you have to rip kriya. So don't look out of the bus. So you won't have to rip kriya. There's a din.
There's a big wall around Beis Lechem now. You can barely see it. Does the wall count?
There's a wall, so you can't see the houses.
On the road to Kever Rachel, it's a big wall around
here. There's a wall around Kever Rachel. Wall
you
around.
You can really see into Beis Lechem. You see the wall.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Interesting question. I don't know. There is a din that when a person hears that a relative died, that's called Shas Chimum, when he's upset. So kriya is supposed to be b'shas chimum when you rip kriya, and then to demonstrate that the person is upset, so the din is an oinin b'shem meisim muta lefanov, not allowed to have basa b'yayin. So that's a real din. This is a minik that the day that a person rips kriya by the kosel amarav, he shouldn't have basa b'yayin till the end of the day. So what happens a lot is that person is going to a family to a wedding, is going to see a mashas to the daf yomi. Or something. He's going to a bar mitzvah, a family bar mitzvah. So he goes to the Kosel HaMarav, he rips kriya, then he goes to the Sudan, they're serving fleishiks. So what does he do? So the quote of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that this whole idea, this comes from the Sefer Kafta Baferach. Kafta Baferach is a Sefer written by one of the Bali Atosos. There was a whole aliyah in the days of the Bali Atosos, a whole group of Bali Atosos moved to Eretz Yisrael. So one of them wrote this whole Sefer, Kafta Baferach, all the dinim of Eretz Yisrael, that are relevant, Bizman says. So he's the one, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it from the Kafta Baferach, that kolos ayom, you don't have basa v'yayin. But it's only a minig, it's not a real din. The Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as having said, if you're going to a Sudas Chasana, you're going to a Siyum, the Daf Yomi Siyum, and they're going to serve Leshiks, so the Makkah Mitzvah, you don't have to be Machmir. The Pashtus says, kolos ayom means until the Shkiyah. after the Shkia, so it's already tomorrow, then you can have Basa V'yayin. Yes. Yes. No, you have to rip Kriya. You still have to rip Kriya. Many have the minig that on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, after Chatzos, you don't rip Kriya. So all the Poskim say that that's a big mistake. The mistake is the carryover from Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Erev Pesach after Chatzos is a machlokes to Rishonim. And the Ramah Paskin, Shulchan Aruch, like the Or Zeruah, who was one of the later Balei HaTzer, who was the Rebbe of the Maram Rutmer, who was the Rebbe of the Rosh, that's the end of the Tkufas. Balei HaTzer, the Or Zeruah says that one doesn't observe Avedus Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because it's a Yontav. It's Chag HaPesach. The Yontav of HaKrob is Karben Pesach. What we call Pesach is really Chag HaMatzis in Chumash. Erev Pesach in the afternoon is called Chag HaPesach. The Yontav of HaKrob is Karben Pesach. So there are more paskins, because whenever there's machloikas in Hilchos Avedus, you go lekula. So there are more paskins lehokal. The Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, you call it quits. When one is sitting Shiva, so the Shiva terminates by Chatzos. After Chatzos is already considered Yontav. Unless the Kvura took place after Chatzos. There are people dying every day, so some people are buried after Chatzos. So then the question is, should they observe a little Avelis before Pesach, and then Pesach will cancel the Shiva? Or do you say, no, it's already Yontif, and they have to observe all the 7 days of Shiva after Yontif is over. So you go Lahokel. So which way is Lahokel? Lahokel means not to observe Avelis now, but then it's going to be Lahachmed that you have to observe 7 days of Shiva after Yontif. I say Lahokel is the whole picture. So the common practice is that whenever, and maybe it's wrong, but that's the common practice, whenever someone is buried after Chatzos, so we say L'Hokal is that they do observe Abelu Shah Achas now, before Yontav, and then Yontav comes and it cancels the rest of the Shiva. Because if you say L'Hokal, you don't observe Abelus now, then it's, the end is going to be that they have to observe the whole 7 days of Shiva after Yontav is over. So it says in the Shulchan, the Pizchei Tshuva on the bottom of the page points out that people make a mistake. They think that just like Erev Pesach after Chatzos cancel Shiva, so to Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, Erev Yontav after Chatzos cancel Shiva. That's a mistake. It's a carryover from Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach after Chatzos cancel Shiva, but not Erev Shabbos. Here in the neighborhood, it was Yodua, the Rabbi Schwab, would always go be Menachem Oval, Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. And everybody knew that he's going to come after Chatzos, that the people should know they have to continue sitting Shiva. There is no such din. I remember I went to be Menachem Oval, one of the members of the board in YU, who established the first chair in Talmud. This member of the board made a chair, and they gave it to me, because I was the head of the club. So he was sitting Shiva. A brother of his died, I think, a relative of his died. So I went to be Menachem Oval. So it was Erev Shabbos in the morning. He already went to work. Erev Shabbos, you don't observe Avelis. There is no such thing. Even Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, one observes Avelis. It's only Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The Erev Pesach after Chatzos is treated like a yontif, so then you don't observe Avelis of ripping Kriya. Ripping Kriya usually is not part of Avelis when a relative dies, but ripping Kriya on the Kosel HaMaravi, the Magen Aram says that is a form of Nihug Avelis. So Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you shouldn't rip Kriya by the Kosel HaMaravi. But Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Erev Rosh Chodesh. I'm Rosh Chodesh. That's not Yontif. You do rip Kriya. Even on Rosh Chodesh, you do rip Kriya. There's no such din. There's no din that whenever you don't say Tachni, you don't rip Kriya. That's a mistake. That's a carryover from Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So the Pashta says you do have to rip Kriya. Rav Soloveitcher and Moshe Feinstein both point out that when one is in front of the Kosel HaMaravi, you shouldn't lean on the Kosel, because it may well be that there's a Kedusha to the walls of the Kosel HaMaravi. Maybe it's a violation of Me'ilah. Then a lot of posts can point out, even though they only daven in the first couple of feet in front of the Kosel HaMaravi, but on Shalosh Shugolim, the whole place is packed all the way to the back. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, let's say you have a room that is designated as a shul, and all year long hardly anybody shows up. But on Shavuot Shigalim, more people are Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, more people come. And it's all one big room, except that they have a partition. So they only daven in the front part of the room, but whenever there's a big crowd, they daven all the way to the back. So even though the back is only the back of the big room is only used on a temporary basis a few times a year, the whole room has the status of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. If you have a location, let's say there are places in Eretz Yisrael where Matzoi Shabbos, the minhag is a dav ma'ariv outside in the street in front of the shul. It's a different location. Once a week they dav ma'ariv from Matzoi Shabbos in front of the shul, but all week long they don't. So that part of the street does not have Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses because they only daven there b'ikroi b'alma. But if it's all part of one big room and they daven kavua in the front of the room, and then whenever there's a big crowd b'ikroi, they use the whole room, so then even to the back, the Magen Avraham says, even the back part also has a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. So that's what Poskim say. When you go to the Kosel Merah, you're always going to meet friends that you haven't seen in many years. They're going to carry on all kinds of conversations. So it's not really right. It's like you should consider as if you're in the middle of the shul. Even if you're in the Rachav HaTakotel, you're in the part of the Kosel Merah where people are not davening, they're only davening in the front. In the front part, but since on Shalva Shigolim, it goes all the way to the back, and there aren't really mechitzas that separate, so you should treat the whole area as if it has Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses.
How far back? All the way to the back?
I think so.
You know, there's a wall in between?
Is there really a wall?
No, it goes down. You know, when you go all the way.
A little bit it goes down, but it's the other part that goes.
Slow.
A little bit slow. I think that's what they recommend. Is it permissible to enter? Is it permissible to daven by the Kosel Merah? So there was in the early 1900s, there was a prominent rabbi from Europe, the Ridvaz. He was a rabbi in America for a while. He gave hashgacha on the slaughterhouses. He never got along. He was always very outspoken. So they always fired him, wherever he was a rabbi. And he was a rabbi in Slutsk first, then he came to America, then so he finally went there. So he was always fighting with Rav Kook about different issues. He was always machmer against Rav Kook. He was a big Talmud Chochmah. He wrote a few svarim. So he was a Talmud of the Beis Halevi, Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik's great-grandfather, the father of Rabbi Chaim. So he, because he writes in his Tshuvos, that we all know that the Kosel HaMaravi is the Kosel of the Azara. We all know it's not the Kosel. We all know it's the Kosel of the Har HaBayis. But he says, we all know it's the Kosel of the Azara. So the Kosel of the Azara is in front of the Kosel Maharavi. Is all part of the Har HaBayis. See, Atomei is not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. He can't go anywhere near the Kosel Maharavi. So even though we know that he's wrong, so the Briska Machma, because he learned by Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, by the Beis HaLevi, so they're Machma. The Pashtus says, we know that he's wrong. So people do walk up to the Kosel Maharavi. We don't consider that a problem. That was a mistake. Are you allowed to go into the Moris HaMachpelah? So the Moris HaMachpelah was designated by the Arabs as a mosque. They pray there. So you're not allowed to go into a mosque. You're not allowed to go into a church. You're not allowed to go into a mosque. So are you allowed to go to walk into the Moris HaMachpelah? So some people...
When I say mosque, you're allowed to go into?
What?
Aren't you allowed to go into a mosque? It's not a mosque.
Chacham Avadya writes like that. The Pashta says that that's not correct. With all due respect, there is an opinion, a mosque for an Arab is not Avodah Zarah. Islam for an Arab is not Avodah Zarah because they believe in one God, one abysmal God. Christianity is Avodah Zarah even for the Goyim, and Islam is not. But for the Jews, Islam is considered a different religion. Clearly, it's a different religion. So the Pashta says, we're not going to a mosque. The Pashta says like them.
Is there even a Rambam Mechalek between a church and a mosque?
There is a difference, yeah. If you want to convert the church into a shul, that's not permissible. But if it's a Unitarian religion, and you want to convert it, or it's a mosque where they only worship one God, so then that you may convert into a shul. But Kozman is still used as a mosque. Then it's that's for us, that's Avodah Zarah. That's a different religion. So the Pashto says you're not allowed to go in. So the question is, the Arabs who designated the Moris HaMachpelah as a mosque, a Makom Tefillah, do they have the right to designate it? We have a rule, Ein Anamos Adov Shein Shaloi. So the question, who built the Moris HaMachpelah? Was it built by Jews or was it built by non-Jews? So the Tzitz Eliezer wrote a tshuva after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, when they took control of Hebron. So he claims that it was built by Jewish people, and therefore Ein Anamos Adov Shein Shaloi. So the Arabs had no right to designate it as a mosque. So you're allowed to go in. It's not considered like going into a church or into a real mosque, because it had no right to designate. So that's why people go all the time. People go into the Maris HaMachpelah. What about Kohanim? Are Kohanim allowed to go into the Maris HaMachpelah? If they're dead bodies, the Gemara says in the end of Cheskas HaBatim, Rabbi Bano'o had the responsibility to be mitzayin the Maris HaMachpelah, so Kohanim should know where they're not allowed to go. So the Gemara said beferish that Kohanim are not allowed to go to the Maris HaMachpelah because there are Jewish bodies buried over there. So they shouldn't be allowed to go now either. So some of the Rabbanim in Hebron claim, I don't know where they got this tradition from, they claim that the Maris HaMachpelah was built in such a way that the Tumah doesn't go up. Okay, in Kabbalah, Hinei Kabbalah, so they allow Kohanim to go into the Maris HaMachpelah. If a person is visiting Eretz Yisrael, and they're observing Yontav there. So in Chutz Lord, it says, then you have to observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golis and Eretz Yisrael. They only observe one day Yontav. So there's a big machlokes, how do you decide whether Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Lord? So the Rambam says, it's not an issue of Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Lord, it's an issue of how close are you to the Yerushalayim, where the Bezin used to meet to declare Rosh Chodesh. If you're more than 15 days a trip away, so even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, They didn't have email in the days of the Tanaim. So it took a long time to send a person by horseback to notify all the people in the north and the south. So the Rambam claims there are locations in Eretz Yisrael that are so far away from Yerushalayim that they have to observe 2 days Yontav. There are locations in Chutz La'aretz that are so close to Yerushalayim that they don't have to observe 2 days Yontav. The Rambam says it all depends, Bismachi Kitchal Piyariya, how close or how far away are you? And was it the practice that they would send shluchim in that direction? According to the Rambam, there are locations even in Eretz Yisrael that are close to Yerushalayim, but they never sent shluchim there. So maybe then you have to observe Yontav Sheni. So it's a double yudur. Rav Avvel Soloveitchik lived in Gula. He lived in Meir Shearim, right? He used to observe Yontav Sheni. He says, how do we know that they sent shluchim there? It's a little bit of a joke. And the Stipler used to observe Yontav Sheni. The Chazin Stipler used to observe Yontav Sheni in Bnei Brak. How do you know that they sent shluchim there? So there's a Talmud Chacham who studied by the Stipler when he was a teenager. The Stipler was a Rebbe in one of the yeshivas, and then he maintained contact for many years, till the Stipler passed away, for many, many years. And he writes all the Hanhogas. He wrote his son put out four volumes, his son put out the fifth volume, five volumes of Hanhogas of the Stipler. So he was a bit of a nudnik. So he used to get under the stipler's skin. He used to ask him, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? So the stipler didn't want to always answer every single time Yontav Sheni. The stipler wasn't doing any malocha. So he always gave a different teretz. He never told him that. It was obvious. It was his journey of Yontav Sheni and Bnei Brak. It was obvious that he was... So every time he gave him a different teretz, he writes. He asked him on Yontav Sheni, of Pesach, and Sukkot, and every time. Always gave a different teretz why he's not doing any malachas. Obviously, that was his practice. So that's not... The common practice is not like the Rambam. Common practice is like the Ritva. The Ritva in Rosh Hashanah says that this difference doesn't depend how close or far away you are. It depends whether the Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. All those in Eretz Yisrael observe 1 day Yontav. Those in Chutz La'aretz observe 2 days Yontav. Question is, what if you're a tourist visiting Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Tzvat in the 1500s, and then there was a common practice that many tourists from the neighboring Arab countries would come to visit to tour Eretz Yisrael for Yontif, and he says they always observe Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. That was a common practice. The Chacham Tzvi, who never lived in Eretz Yisrael, never stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael, he wrote it. Shuvah, he thinks that it's not right. He thinks that one should not observe Yontif Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're only visiting. So the different practices, the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi became more popular in recent years. That's Yadua, that there was a hotel who was open for Pesach, and people were going to come from Germany, from Europe, that were going to come to observe Pesach. Wealthy Balabatim had come to observe Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, so the hotel owner needed a hashgacha. So he asked Rav Kook, was the chief rabbi at that time. He asked Rav Kook. So he asked him, are you going to have a seder on the second night? So he said, yes. He said, it's keneged adin, I can't give you a heksha. The guy said, so what am I going to do? All the people are going to come from Chutzlar. I'm not going to have a hechsher. So they're going to leave my hotel. So he said, sorry, he's going to have a seder. He can't give a hechsher. It's against the din. He held like the Chacham Tzvi. So the hotel owner didn't know what to do. So he asked his business associate, what should he do? So he said, don't worry, go to Merkaz HaRav. Go to the Rav Kook has a yeshiva. Pick one of the poor married men. He has a few children. Ask him to be the mashgiach in the hotel. Offer him an amount of money he'll grab at the opportunity. And then ask him, after he'll agree, ask him, can he get to Rosh Yeshiva to approve the hashgacha? So he's not going to tell him no after he needs it for parnasa. So that's what he did. He got one of the guys. And then the guy went to Rav Kook and he said, so Rav Kook realized it's the same Cheverman. He went around the back door. So he didn't want to ruin his parnasa. So he said, he'll approve, he'll give the hashgacha on the condition that they have an orchestra playing music the second night while they serve supper. So they had the seder, and they had an orchestra playing music the second night. That's a famous story by Rav Kook. Rav Soloveitchik had a pshara, a complicated pshara. He said that you shouldn't do malacha on the second day yontif, but you should daven tefillas chol. He said the one time that he visited Eretz Yisrael was for Shavuos. He was a candidate for the Rabbanus in Tel Aviv at that time, and he lost to a Mizrahi rabbi, to Rabbi Neil, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Shkot, but he was known as a Mizrahi leader in Europe. So before he left America, his father was still alive. His father said, make sure you put on tefillin with a bracha yantav sheni shel Golias. It happens that second day Shavuos was Shabbos, so nobody was wearing tefillin. But he said, his father told him, make sure you say bracha on the tefillin yantav sheni. So that was his family tradition, that you don't observe Yantav Sheni Benegeir to the mitzvahs, but you do observe Yantav Sheni Benegeir to the malachas. It's a complicated psak. Many recommend that even if Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach recommends that Bnei Torah who are in Eretz Yisrael on Yantav Sheni, they're not doing malacha, even if they're observing all the other, they're davening Yantav Dik, even if you daven Yantav Dik and so on, but you should put on tefillin b'lei bracha. Because of the other opinion that you should only observe one day Yantav, you shouldn't have 2 days Yantav. What if you visit Eretz Yisrael after Zayin Cheshvin before December 4th? So they start saying Talamot on Zayin Cheshvin, you only start saying December 4th. So that's a machlekes in the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheite. That's a machlekes whether the issue, like Yantav Sheni, still applies. They say since basically we're going back to America, that we shouldn't start saying Talamata till December 4th. They say, no, right now you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, so you should say Talamata. So that's a machloikis in Achreinim. The Shari Tshuva quotes the machloikis. So is there any way to resolve the machloikis? What can you do? So they quote from the Stipler in the Sefer Orchus Rabbeinu, where this fellow Horovitz wrote over all the hanhagas of the Stipler. So he gave a recommendation. You should say the same Talamata Lebrachon Shemea Tfilo. Because in America we need rain anyway. All year long we need rain. Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice was, he followed his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim, that they used to say the same Talamot all summer long in Shema Koleinu. Because in America you need rain all the time. The Rosh, the Tur quotes his father, the Rosh, he didn't understand why we only say the same Talamot certain seasons of the year, only from Sukkot to Pesach, and after Pesach you don't say the same Talamot. Where he lived in Germany, it rained all the time. We don't have a dry season in America. It rains every day of the year, it rains. We don't have a dry season. So the Tur quotes, his father said he was outvoted. All the Rabbanim disagreed with him, not so. But so Rab Chaim thought that it was a starker time, so he always used to say the same Talamat, and some time he said in Shema Kalem. So over here, that's the easy solution. The OU had twice, they had their, usually used to have a convention Thanksgiving weekend. So the convention was always in America. Every other year they had a convention. So two times they had, now they haven't had a convention in many years. But the two times when they still had, so they had the convention in Eretz Yisrael over the Thanksgiving weekend. And that's in between Zayin Cheshvin and December 4th. So they had the Shaila. So that's what we recommended for them, that everybody should say the same Talamata and Shemea Tefillah. The boys who learn in the yeshivas, a lot of them are in the army, so they're supposed to take the rifle with them. So the shahs, when they come to the Beis Medrash, there's a din of Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to take, not allowed to enter a Beis HaMedrash or a Beis HaKnesses b'saken megula, with a weapon. Sometimes a policeman comes into shul, he wants to say Kaddish. He wants to say Kaddish for a parent. So if he has, I don't know, the police still go with guns in the holster? They still go. Remember years ago, there was a policeman who used to come to my father's shul. He was saying Kaddish, and my father always insisted he should leave the gun in the office. He shouldn't walk into the shul with the gun. So in Eretz Yisrael also, it's not right. You're not allowed to enter into the Beis Medrash. The original din says the Gemara about the Beis Medrash, and we apply it even to Beis HaKnesset. The original din is not allowed to go with a weapon into the Beis Medrash. So in Kerem Yavne, they have a closet where all the boys who are in the army, they leave their rifle in the closet when they walk into the Beis Medrash. If you're in a Beis Medrash with this mamash of sakana, that you take the, so you have no choice, they take it with you. But in your Beis Medrash, where there's no sakana, so you don't take it with you. I spent two summers in Kiryat Arba giving shurim, and there's a big Hesdi yeshiva there. So the first summer, all the guys used to bring their rifles into the Beis Medrash, and I kept on telling them, I think it's not permissible. So 2 years later, when I came again, so that by then they already asked the shaila by the Rabbanim, then they didn't take the rifles into the Beis Medrash. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be careful, kashrus-wise, about trumas and maisvus. You have to make sure that you have the hashgacha that takes care of hatrashas, trumas and maisvus. Then perish shviyas, many rely on the heta mechira in Eretz Yisrael. So strictly speaking, it's really an issue for the farmers. If they sell a land to the, are you allowed to sell a land to the Arabs? If you did sell, are you allowed to do avodas hakarka? But once they worked out whatever they worked out, once they sell the food in the stores, so as far as the customers are concerned, as far as the consumers are concerned, it's really not our Asik. There is a Rabbeinu Tam on the last daf in Yevamos. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that you're not allowed to eat meshumer. That peiros, if the farmer wasn't mapke his peiros, he kept the doors locked and he didn't let anybody take the peiros. Rabbeinu Tam interprets in the Gemara that you're not allowed to eat the food. So the poskim all say, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva and a chazan ish, writes like that. Mikra adim, we don't paskin like that, Rabbi Natan. Mikra adim, we paskin the Mishumar is muta machil. They have a letter. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky printed, he's a nephew of the chazan ish, he printed a letter that the chazan ish sent to a close friend of his that he recommended. He was a bentar. He said, you should be machma for the Rabbi Natan. But in the Sefer Halacha that the chazan ish wrote, he wrote Lahokel, Mikra adim, it's really we don't paskin like the Rabbi Natan. Mishumar is really muta. Issue is really for the farmers. It's not really an issue for the consumers. Okay, so we should all visit Eretz Yisrael. Should all move to Eretz Yisrael, not just visit Eretz Yisrael. Yes.
What are the problems of going on to Harabai's proper?
A person who is a Tomei Tuma Yotzal Megufa Balkeri is not allowed to go on to the Harabai's. Yeah, you're not allowed to go on Harabai's. If a person went to Mikveh, he's allowed to go into the Harabai's, but you have to know which part is Harabai's. Then the Atami Meis, strictly speaking, is allowed to go in the whole Harabais. But when the Rabbanon, they divided the Harabais into three parts. So the Atami Meis is not allowed to go into the inner parts of the Harabais with the Rabbanon. So everybody today is Atami Meis. So strictly speaking, if a person went to Mikveh, he's allowed to go the first couple of Amis into the Harabais. But the Rabbanut recommended you shouldn't. So we shouldn't fight with the Rabbanut.
Also, there's an issue to lean on the Kotel. A lot of people, they pray with their head on the
Kotel.
Is that
so much of a
avoid?
No. If you're leaning, let's say I want to tie my shoelaces, I'm leaning. But if you pray with your head, you're not being nena from the Kotel. Yeah, they do it from more kavana.
If someone traveled to Eretz Yisrael and visited a lot, does that break the 30 days or the 12 months?
Probably does. They assume a lot of chutz l'aretz, yeah. It was never in the Scottish, but Dusha saw it. Yeah.
The whole thing with the Yotami everything?
No, I think they just lechumah. They didn't do malacha. No. They did it as a chumah. No.
A gun in a holster, does it count as megula?
What?
A gun in a holster counts as megula?
Unless he's wearing a long kapata, so it's covered over. But if it's not covered over, then it's megula. The rifle is always megula.
Right.
And the gun, it depends whether it's Makula or Mechusa.
But isn't it against like the army rules? Like, you have to take it even for the shower.
No. So sometimes we violate the army rules. Okay. Very good. What's in store tomorrow? I got it already. Mezuzah. Okay. Parshas HaShavua. Shteh Mezuzah Sval HaMashkov. It's in Parshas Boy. Okay.
Rabbi, can one Do you want me to make it with the photo camera or not?
She has another
letter. Instead of someone sees the camera.
We'll find the stuff if you don't come to you.